to him, I felt a little bit of the same, but I began to listen. But the greatest thing that touched me was his gospel message, the testimony of Jesus Christ in his heart. And so I really studied him and listened to him. And, his approach and the philosophy of the black community, of the Jewish community, of Israel, of the transgenders, of the youth of our generation, of colleges. You got to hear the theme and what he was speaking. So there might be some of you here that, you know, maybe you don't believe in what he said or whatever. But the reality is, now I'm old enough to remember when John F. Kennedy was shot. I'm old enough to remember when Robert Kennedy was shot. I'm old enough to remember Martin Luther King when he was shot. I remember where I was when John F. Kennedy was shot. Absolutely. I was pushing a little friend down the block, because I was about 5 years old, on a tricycle. And what I remember was not that when he was shot, how he was shot. I remember, I live right next to St. Agnes High School. Not high school, high school and church, right? We were raised in the dead center, one of the only houses that was in the center of the convent, the rectory, the church, and the high school and the elementary school. So a couple of our houses. But what I do remember, when that happened, people were running out of their houses crying, running to the church. We lived right next to the church. You didn't get in a car. We walked to church. And it shocked then, then Robert Kennedy, then Martin Luther King. And so when you see this live on TV, you see what happened, it shakes you. And the scripture that I thought to share today as we do pray, Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And it says that when righteousness prevails, God exalts a nation, but sin brings it down. We have seen that. And I don't know if you've seen on news the peaceful demonstrations across the world. London, 2 million people marching. Around here, just locally. What explodes from that is not anti-black, anti-Jew, anti-gray. It's pro-Jesus. Through every one of those marches, it's a patriot march usually, but suddenly there was an outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's a man, has a family, and so it has provoked a lot of people, as I've seen. I wrote something on Facebook, and somebody wrote something, back that he's this, he's that. And I've studied every negative thing, because I don't join any of that junk that people, So they're watching maybe the liberal news that takes what we're called media bites and sound bites. And in cults, it's called segmented biblical doctrine, cults. And what does that mean? They take a scripture, they manipulate it, and build a whole deal on it. What matters is what time it is and what's happening in our country and in our world, in our schools, in our educations, and what a voice that has been taken away, and the enemy took away a voice. And many of us, I would know, many of us, whether you were black, Jewish, white back in the day, you'd have, especially in the black community, you got to remember, I'm raised in the black community, we would have, we would have Jesus, Martin Luther King, and John Kennedy. Come on, pictures. And if you do research, you'll discover the craziness that John Kennedy may have done. What am I saying? We all have imperfections, and you'll find them if you search. But we want to pray for our country. We want to pray for our youth. We want to pray for our church, our government. There's a shaking going on. And I believe God is doing something in preparing the church. We're the most valuable, powerful entity on the earth, the church. And we want to pray. A very sad thing happened to all of us, whether you believe in the concepts enough or not. A dreadful thing that our youth witnessed. We had 9/11 24 years ago, and on the eve of 9/11, we have all witnessed a horrible assassination murder. So what are we to do? Wake up. Open up. You'll hear a lot about Charlie Kirk. And if I would encourage you, if you have some negative things, and prove it wrong. One person wrote on my Facebook, and he's even against, free lunches in school. And I was thinking, it's again just kind of ridiculous, because you miss what he's focusing on. Because the reality is, if the church did its job, we wouldn't need a welfare system. Come on, somebody understand that? They say, well, you're condemning the church, and so. You've got to understand that we're not doing our job. There's a breakdown. I'm not taking this church, don't get me wrong. It's the Christians are not fully, what Billy Graham said when it was 80% Christian back in the 90s, heard him say this. Now I think they're saying it's 58% Christian or whatever. But he said so many Christians doing so little. But not our church, amen? We want to pray. And I would like us somehow to unify. If we could maybe go across and just put a shoulder on each and everybody. And just pray in unity. If you don't want to hold hands, just touch each other. Go ahead, you can lean across, or if it can't happen, do your best to be unified. You're going to hear a message this morning. Conclude with something, and that is that one can chase 1,000 and two can chase 10,000. So Lord, we just come together in the name of Jesus. We mourn not only for Charlie Kirk's life and family and what we've witnessed. Nobody deserves that. We mourn for our country. I think with Jesus, he looked upon Jerusalem and he wept. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, that I may be like a mother hen and gather you under my wings. Oh, America, may you and we be gathered under the wings of Jesus. Oh, world, oh, country, we pray. God, that you would bless this country. Our song, God Bless America. And that is not just a song, Lord. That's a serious heart. We pray Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Today, God, we exalt you. We exalt you. And we pray your anointing on every prayer request we mentioned earlier, but Charlie Kirk's family, Erica, the Turning Point, we pray, God, you would touch the government. God, wake up the Democrats. Bring a spirit of morality in their hearts. Wake up the Republicans. Bring a fire in their hearts. Wake up the liberals. Oh, God, wake up the conservatives. We pray somehow, God, that this window that we're in, that you would flood and pour out your Holy Spirit. We pray, God, for the youth of our generation. Right now, God, that you'll fire them up. That you'll raise up the next voice and voices. The Billy Grahams, Lord God. Lord, the people of God that will raise up with a voice of power and authority, God. Oh, God, we pray that you would touch the pastors. We pray, God, you would touch the heads of the church. That you would put a fire, take away the fear. For many of us, fear preaching truth. Preaching against adultery and fornication, homosexuality and prejudice and decisiveness and violence, God. Lord, we need the feel-good message at times. We need the, but God, we need the righteousness of Christ. We need the blood of Jesus to be preached across the pulpits in this land. God, break the stronghold over the United States of America, over every family. We rebuke every cult. We rebuke every violent, murderous spirit. We rebuke every prejudiced spirit. Oh, God, we exalt you, and we pray you would exalt the nation. In Jesus' name, let's sing this song together, church. Come on, let's exalt the Lord together. Hallelujah! Oh, we exalt you, we exalt you, we exalt you, O Lord. Hallelujah! Holy, holy. Yes, Lord. Come on, let's give Jesus a big shout this morning. What a special day to partake in communion. And Pastor Eugene and Pastor Diane are going to lead us in communion. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. No, it wasn't handed out. Could we have the ushers get ready to come on up and distribute the elements? Hello, am I on? Yeah, it should be on. Am I on? As we enter into this time of, we call it a time of communion. It's actually a time of remembrance. And we have to remember that. We have to understand that. That when the Lord met with his closest disciples in that room, it was all about remembrance. What he was doing, what he was teaching his disciples that night, was all focused around them remembering what he was about to do for them, which they didn't even understand at the time. When he was talking about his body being broken and his blood being shed, They didn't understand. They thought he was their king and he would be with them forever. And he would change everything. Well, he did change everything, but not in the way they thought. And the fact that he took elements of food, bread and wine, to me is extremely significant. Because, you see, we have to eat three times a day, give or take. So he knew that. And one of the things he said to his disciples was, as often as you do this in remembrance of me, knowing full well that at least two or three times a day, they'd be taking bread and wine. So it was a matter of him wanting them to remember, because he knew how easily we can forget. How easily we could forget. And the extent to which he was going, the sacrifice that he was about to make, he wanted it to be branded upon their hearts and their lives. That every day. And I've shared this with you before. I've made it a practice of my own. That at every meal, before I pray, I not only thank God for all he's done and all he's doing, but I also thank him for all that he's already done. And I promise him that I will never forget. I will always remember all that he's done at every meal. And it's always in your mind then. Amen? So what he did with his disciples, knowing full well they didn't fully understand, he took a piece of bread and he broke it. And he tried to explain to them that this bread represents my body, which is about to be broken for you. And I'm sure they were wondering to themselves, what is he talking about? But he knew that within just a short few days, they would fully understand exactly what he was talking about. Now, we don't do this out of religion. We don't do this because our constitution and bylaws says we have to do this. We do this voluntarily, solely so that we can remember exactly what he did for us. Now, there are some churches that do it the exact first Sunday of every month, or some that do it every single service. It doesn't matter, whatever is good for you. But as long as we do it occasionally, and we as individuals remember it daily, what he has done for us. So I would ask you to stand with me. Has everyone received the elements? So as he met with his closest disciples that night, he took bread and he broke it. And he held it up. And he said, this bread represents my body, which is about to be broken for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of what I've done for you. So let's receive it together. Amen.
Today, we remember. Jesus, we remember. We do this in remembrance of you, and we are so thankful. We are so thankful. Let's take the cup. Thank you, Lord.
Be seated. Pastor Jimmy, can I just share something real quick about this whole Charlie Kirk thing? There may be many that are confused because they look at certain scriptures and they said, this doesn't make sense. For example, when the scripture says all things work together for good to those who are called, who love God and are called according to his purpose. They said, this was not good. But the scripture says all things include good and bad things. And it doesn't say all things work together for good for those. It says all things work together for good to those. So bad things happen to us. It was not a good thing that happened to Charlie Kirk. Getting shot in the neck and falling over and bleeding to death was not a good thing. His wife being left a widow was not a good thing. His children being left fatherless was not a good thing. It was not a good thing that happened to Charlie Kirk. But all things, including those bad things, will work together for good out of what happened to him. That's what we have to have our faith in. You see, that's where we have to understand God. Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved. Study the scriptures, the word of God, so you understand fully. Because there are people walking around today saying, I don't understand. What is this Christianity all about? How could God let something like this happen? God not only let something like this happen, God allowed this to happen for a purpose that you or I don't fully understand right now. But the days and weeks and months and years that lie ahead will prove as a testimony of what came out of this bad thing that happened to Charlie, but good that came out of it for the kingdom. Amen? Amen.
Lord, amen. We want to pray for our offering this morning. And we have some exciting things happening and coming up. And we'll be announcing that in a few. We're looking forward to outreaches coming up. Thanksgiving outreaches, our Christmas outreaches. And we're doing some renovations on the church. As you'll see, we're going to be working on the sound booth next week. You'll come in. You're going to see some work over there. We're going to be taking the wall down. We're putting in new systems and just doing some great things. And we're so thankful for your care, your help, your dedication, your commitment to tithe, to give offerings. And don't forget, we have a beautiful school downstairs, and it's just so beautiful. We have a beautiful Spanish church that worships here at 9 a.m., and it's just a beautiful family just like this. We have incredible pastors, Pastor Lennon and his wife Damaris, and just some exciting, wonderful, beautiful things. And we're raising up a youth group, and just for you young people. Now, what is young people? That includes me, because I'm going to go to this youth event, and I'm going to try to encourage Pastor, I think Pastor Eugene said he's in, and Pastor Diane. But there is skate night. I think it's the last Friday or the first Friday. It's gospel skate night at the skating rink. They've been calling me. I said, keep calling me. So we're gonna grab a bunch of you young people, and I'm gonna be there rooting you on by the sidelines with pretzels and soda and popcorn. Amen. But I'll be jamming with some of the gospel music. We're building our worship team. And, you know, so when we tithe and we give offering, that strengthens us. You need to know that. Not only that, you need to know this. It strengthens your family. It strengthens your life. You know, I don't want to just serve the Lord partially or fragmentedly. Remember I used the word segmented biblical doctrine. And like I said, people build a religion on that. They take pieces that works for them. You know, I love that the fact that this church has been for years a full gospel church. That you understand that. A lot of the young folks don't understand. We believe in the full gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We believe in the full gospel, the movement, the Pentecostal, what God did in the book of Acts, he's doing here. So this morning, as we give today, you could give on we have the Q code up there and all kinds of ways to text it. But also, you know, we just want you to know we love you. And we're so grateful for what you're doing. And the fact that you walk through these doors blesses us, blesses the pastors, blesses every one of us, but especially your family and the very heart of God. Amen? If you believe in that, give a big shout of thanksgiving. So let's pray for God to just touch us and be faithful and in our giving. Lord, we praise you for this wonderful opportunity to tithe and to offer. Thank you for what you're doing, a new thing at this beautiful church here that you have blessed us with, a new family. More families are coming. The children's church is almost full. We pray for the future youth group. We pray for the future prayer night that we're going to institute here, and a Bible study, and all the other ministries that we're going to be launching and establishing. Thank you for Pastor Lennon and Damaris. Thank you, God, for the beautiful school, Copay Christian Academy, our teachers, our students, all you're doing in our lives. We bless you with this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We serve a mighty God. You know, as I shared a few things with you, don't forget we have Pastor Eugene and Pastor Diane celebration dinner next Sunday at 5 o'clock. And it's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to it. We've been working so hard behind the scenes, and it's going to be a joyful time. And it's on your bulletin. We just been making it just like this instead of wasting paper and making two of these. I want to put my notes on there. And it's as you know, it's right after church at 5 o'clock at the Bermuda Catering Hall. And we have a sign up in the foyer area, and a lot of you have signed up. Some of you paid, some of you didn't pay, and you know we'll work all that out. But we just want to make sure you're coming. Now, if you want to pay next Sunday, that's fine. We could pay through credit card. You could pay through Zelle, through our QR code, and all that good stuff. What matters is that you're going to come. You don't want to miss out. Amen? We're going to throw down. We're going to break some bread. There's going to be a dance contest with Pastor Eugene and Pastor Diane. It's going to be fun. We have a DJ. Of course, we got Christian music playing, but, you know, we might throw a couple oldies in there to get the bones moving. Amen? Don't miss out. We have a special family here. Diane, your beautiful daughters are here, right? And God bless you. You know, you're just such a legacy, and we're praying. It's so good to have you here. And what's your first name?
My name is
Jen. And Donna, how many are in your family? How many siblings?
Five.
Oh, God bless you. What your mom and dad have established here and have, you know, touched the world with the gospel of Jesus. We all love you. We're so blessed. Oh, good to be home. We have a gift for you. How many here first time? Your first time visiting? Raise your hand. Right here is a first time visitor. And if there's more bags, you're going to need some more help. Go ahead. Let them. You haven't been here in a while. Anybody else, first-time visitor? Anybody else? Anybody else? We love you. What's your name, brother? God bless you. Who's this little guy? Oh, that's your uncle? Leticia. God bless you, uncle. Good to have you all here. Could we take a minute or 2 minutes and greet one another in the Lord? Tell somebody you love them in Jesus, will you? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got it? Good job. And then I'm gonna preach. I'm gonna preach like the main. I'll show you. You'll hear me. And you can just show that scripture. on the top, a good separation, real big. That up there, something, don't worry. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Well, how many have your Bibles? I want you to open up to a scripture that the Lord just impressed on my heart. And just want to be obedient to God. I've worked on a message. Literally, my back went out on me, I don't know, Friday. I was literally bedridden. I was doing some stuff, not bed, couch. You know, I could walk around. Still aches, but often I'm all over the place working. I rarely sit until the end of the day. But I had time to really dig into this word that I was going to share this morning. But as I was just sitting there, and after we spoke, and actually right after Pastor Pag spoke, the Lord just prompted me to share a message from my heart, and I want to just trust the Holy Spirit to work through me to communicate something to us all, to the church. Could you stand with me for the reading of God's word? So we'll do our best to have the scripture up here, and you'll know it's a powerful, powerful scripture that is commonly shared at times for revival. But I just think it's so appropriate. So I put the message aside, you know, literally hours and hours, but it'll be ready for next Sunday. Amen. And I won't have to worry too much about it. But I want to read this portion of scripture. And as I said, I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to break it down in our heart, see what the Lord wants to do and speak to us today. And so it comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And, you know, it's a scripture that we all need to take heed, and listen to. And it begins really that we know of in verse 14. And in verse 14, in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, the word of the Lord comes through, you know, the Holy Spirit. It's a dedication of Solomon's temple. And, you know, we're going to be doing a new thing here and a type of a dedication. But here's what God is speaking to America and to the world and to all of us, I believe, especially in this moment. And here's the word of God in verse 14. If my people, I'm not sure if you have it, if you could put it up there. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Amen. Lord, I pray for the next few minutes that you would touch us. Speak to your church today. Speak to your pastors. Speak to your leaders across the land. Holy Spirit, speak to us in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray you would help us to stand, therefore. Be girded, God, with truth and power and unction and anointing. Pray for a walk of holiness in our lives. God, touch the nation, I pray, and touch us here at this beautiful church in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't sit yet. Here's the title. I think it'll put it up there. If My People Will. Can you say that with me? If My People Will. Can you tell your neighbor, I will? Give him a high five. Say, I will. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. As I shared, you may be seated. As I shared with you, you know, I really wanted to share this word, But I'm excited to share it next Sunday. It's a unique word that a lot of us probably have never seen or heard or studied in the Bible. You'll see the notes. In fact, you have the notes, and you'll see the daughters of Zelphelet. But we'll talk about that next Sunday. We'll get into that. But what prompted me to do this is sitting in here, hearing what I was sharing, feeling, and then what Pastor shared as well. Because God is doing something powerful here. One of my prayers in my personal life was Romans 8:28. You know, God works all things together for the good. But Ecclesiastes 3:11 really touched my heart. God makes all things beautiful in His time. How? And at funerals, I share, and in fact, Jennifer, you wrote that scripture they also share in funerals, that death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is thy sting? Amen? That death is swallowed. Jesus took the sting of death, and therefore death is swallowed up in victory. And we believe this is going to take place in Charlie Kirk's life, and that, you know, that God's going to do something. He's waking up the church, going to use this to wake up, you know, to wake us all up, but especially the church. Now, what is taking place here? As you know, it's an incredible moment and a movement that's taking place. It's a dedication of Solomon's temple. It's a dedication of the temple of the Lord. And what God is speaking to His people. He's speaking to you and I. I love the fact that, you know, that judgment, where does the judgment begin? Can someone tell it? Where does God's judgment really begin? In the house of the Lord. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Because, you know, we worry so much about all everybody else's sin. You know, oftentimes we worry about everybody else's sin and we judge so much. You know, I wish I had my Facebook response to a message that somebody shared with me, because what they were doing was condemning, you know, Charlie Kirk this, Charlie Kirk that, Charlie Kirk. And I just wrote back. I said, you know, I've learned in life that I've had so many imperfections. This is my deal. And I said, especially me, quote, and I said, I'm so thank God for this word. Because what this word does, I get in this word, it's a light to my path. You know what I said in my response? I said, it corrects me, it instructs me, it purifies me, and it guides me. It guides and purifies and makes my spirit right and makes my mind right. Amen? And what was I saying is that this is how I filter all things that are happening in the world. This, what's taking place through these situations, I filter this through this word in my heart. Not my own logic, not my own rationale, not my own interpretation. I fuel it, filter it through the word of God. And that's where we can say, if my people who are called by not my name, can somebody say, I'm a Christian? Amen? We're God's people. And God is speaking as you're dedicating the church, as we're dedicating, you know, doing a new thing here. We want God to do a new thing in our own lives. And how, what revival is? You know, what takes place, you know, with Finney and Evans and the great Rod Jonathan, the great revivals, what took place and Parham in 1906 in Los Angeles, what took place in revivals and what took place, if you'll remember, even in Pensacola, the Pensacola revival. My good friend and that was a graduate of Teen Challenge move, a repentance, a humbling, a breaking took place in the body of Christ, where the church began to weep, began to cry, began to break, and began to repent, and the Holy Ghost came in, and when those people walked out of the building, lives were changed. Come on, somebody. Communities were changed. The church was changed. I want to tell you, when God moves in our lives, it transforms us. Give Him a big shout. Do you agree with that? And so what a dedication, what a prayer of dedication. If my people who are called by my name, that what's the one number one first thing that God speaks to us about? You know what God speaks to about who are called by my name? Will humble themselves. It's the first thing God points out. Why? What is the greatest sin that a human being can do and could have? What is it? It's pride. It's not homosexual. It's not adultery. It's not fornication. It's pride. What was the greatest sin in Sodom and Gomorrah? God said it was her pride. Amen? How many here remember where you were when the towers dropped? I remember clearly. You all remember where you were. Just like you might remember where you were with this assassination, as I remember where I was when John F. Kennedy was shot. And I remember Miriam and I, we woke up, someone called us, it must have been like 9 o'clock, 9:15, whenever the first plane hit. And we ran downstairs, we just so happened, of course this is, 2001, what was it, 2001, right after the big millennial. Anyway, we bought one of those new big TV screens. Actually, we didn't, a friend of ours blessed us with it. Now, this one, if you'll remember, Pastor, you'll know these for sure. You worked on television. This was like a refrigerator. It was the ones that had the zoom, and it was just, it was this big, and it was that big bat. However, it was a big, and we ran downstairs in our family room, and we watched. And we didn't know what was happening until the second plane hit. You remember this. But when the Twin Trades came tumbling down, Miriam and I broke out weeping, instantly weeping. And it was shocking. I almost was thinking, this is just a sci-fi movie. This is not happening. But it was real. And, what was taking place at that time? It was what I was thinking what took place is that we were attacked, and that I realized for me, and I think for America, because what took place after that, we had a little tinge of revival. Do you know, for the first couple of days, there was really no such thing as separation of church and state? There really wasn't. Principals were calling on this loudspeaker, public schools, to time of silence to pray. Amen. Every baseball, every sport event was started out with God bless America. Why was that? Going back to this first attribute that God's speaking to us, but I'm going to use a reference to that illustration to what I believe is happening even today and what God desires. What I saw in the evaluation, and I've worked in Ground Zero, I spent time there. I Billy and I, my younger brother, he lived on Chambers and Westside Highway, so on apartment we had in a balcony, 31C. Miriam and I would hang out, and the twin, you could almost touch the twin. I know all of that so well. It was a part of our life that was taken down. But what I realized, what caused people to pray? What caused people to share? What caused people to cry out to God? You know what it was? The Twin Trade represented America's pride. They really did. Both of them represented America's power and pride. Biggest building, two biggest buildings. World Trade Center. Are you hearing me? And what took place is when they were demolished, the illusion, listen to this, the illusion of power and pride was broken, and the reality of how much we need God was manifested across the land. Come on, somebody, are you getting that? What took place? America was humbled. We were humbled. And when humility takes place and there's a brokenness takes place, and God can move the pride out of our lives, then God can step in and manifest himself and be exalted. Come on, somebody. God needs to break our pride. Amen. What is humility? Thinking less of yourself and more of others and God. Simple definition. Thinking less of yourself and more of others and more of God. And this is where God puts out, if my people will. Come on, somebody. Amen? You know, if my people will. And are we willing to be broken? Are we willing? Do we have, listen, do we have the switch? Can we flip the switch sometimes when we're confronted to pride and humility? Do we have that governor system in our hearts when we're confronted and we could just sit back and receive? Can we say to ourselves, wait a minute, let me not judge this dude. Something's happening where millions and millions of people, youth of the generation, are raising up and shouting out for Jesus. Is there something I'm missing with this guy, Charlie Kirk? What was he preaching? What was he speaking of? And realistically, what was taking place, he had the ability to break down people's philosophies and pride. Are you hearing me? Amen. And so today, what is God speaking to the church through all this? All week, you're going to hear about it. His funeral is coming up. It's going to be, you know, he's having a presidential funeral. He's on Air Force One, Air Force Two. It's and all that. And you got to say why. There's a reason why. This guy wasn't spatting out demonic stuff. Come on, somebody. Our youth of our generation need to have a humble heart, not a heart that is filled with liberal educations in our colleges across the land. They need a humble, broken heart that understands Jesus is Lord of everything. Come on, somebody. Monday through Friday, downstairs, these little kids are running around. Have their little lunch boxes. Amen. Running around. And they're in a school, and yes, they're learning, Becker is a call, but they're learning Christ-centered math. Come on, somebody. Christ-centered science. Hallelujah! Christ-centered social studies. And some Christ-centered arithmetic. Amen? Thank God for this incredible school God has blessed us with. We have a man here today. Where is it, Matt? Matt's in the house somewhere. Is he here earlier? I think he went through this school downstairs. And I know pastors, my little nephew's a preacher of the gospel. Right now, little Barry Bow in Florida has 100 youth and he's preaching the gospel. I want to tell you, God is so awesome. Thank God for the church. Thank God for God's people. Come on, somebody. We are God's people. If my people will humble ourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's very hard. Remember I said flipping the switch? You know, I remember a time that I was sitting down. Actually, there was a young lady who was a part of our youth group and worship leader, and we were trying to instruct her. Great girl, don't get me wrong, she wasn't. Just we were trying to kind of guide her in her leadership role. And her mother and father were leaders of the church. And I think they got offended at me. And to give a backdrop, let me not give the backdrop. So anyway, so they wanted to meet with me. And so they met with me to talk and say, I'm being a little rough. My expectations for their daughter, we don't want to try to control you, but we just think that, you know, you may be going in the wrong direction. And in my mind is saying, you know, maybe she can't fit this position. But then, as they were saying more, they were being very respectful, very kind, very kind. And they said, and I began to interpret something in them, that their criticism or their confrontation with me was not really one thing. How many here know when someone wants to sit with you, to talk with you, it's never really one subject. It's usually a combination of stuff. But they weren't revealing that. And so I was sitting upstairs, and then I just said to them, is there something else that you're holding on to? You know, because I just feel you're not being fully honest. And all of a sudden, the husband goes, yes, at times you quench the Holy Spirit in service. And then the mother comes. It was like fangs coming out. It was so nice. I'm like, whoa. And then I can't even remember. It was two things. I remember clearly the Holy Spirit, as they were speaking, gave me the video of that moment they were talking about. And there was an, I can't remember what the other one, but it was about your pride, you're this. And I sat there, and I'm so thankful, I flipped the switch, and I said, wow, you know, you're so right. I remember what you're talking about. And then I said, and the other thing too, they didn't know what to do. They were embarrassed. Oh, I hope we didn't offend you, Ms. Pastor. I said, no, thank you for sharing that with me. And I wasn't being like, I just, God help me not to defend myself, but to look inside. One of the beautiful things that we learn at a Teen Challenge is a curriculum. It's a curriculum of 14 units that are incredible. How can I know I'm a Christian? How to study the Bible, love and accept myself. How to be successful through failures. But then there's a course that I think is one of the most powerful courses. We would teach this in our discipleship courses. It's called Attitudes. And there's a pattern of thinking, the way you think, but it also talks about the way you react. And so there's a class that and it was obedience to God, obedience to man. But the class, it speaks about receiving correction and giving correction. And there's five dynamics on receiving that. You know, I am wrong. How can I prevent this wrong thing from happening again? You know, blah, 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 blah. And so I've learned that in my life, that your best critic is your best critic. Come on, somebody, amen? I've learned that there's three or four people that will tell you the truth. The disgruntled congregant, amen? Let me see three. The disgruntled congregant, like that, they'll come right out of your truth, amen? The mentally ill, they just don't hold anybody back. A child, amen? And an elderly person, amen? And I realize in life, if I want to grow, if I want God to come into my heart, that I need to ask God to humble me so I can receive and hear something that is in my heart that God needs to remove. What am I saying about Paul? Listen, what was it? If my people are called by my name, he's talking about who? Someone say the church. He's talking about us. If my people will call by name, will humble themselves. What is he saying? The church needs to be open. Walk in humility. Get the pride out. Let the Holy Spirit come in so we don't have a wall that blocks them. And let the King do his thing. Oh God, do something powerful in the land. That's our heart. Amen. If my people who will. The scripture goes on, if you could put it up there, the scripture goes on, talking to my graphic people, if the scripture goes on, put it up there, if my people will call by my name, what's the next thing it says here? Will humble themselves, what's the next thing? We'll put it up there. Put the next verse. My people will humble themselves and pray, amen? As he shared in my welcoming everybody, that we're going to have a Thursday night prayer hour, an hour of prayer. We did some great things, and so have you, Pastor Eugene and Pastor Diane, the wonderful miracle things that God has done through this church here and the lives of the school. It's through prayer. So we started our ministry in a coffeehouse outreach in 1990 on a VFW hall on Route 110 in Amityville. But Miriam and I, we were so blessed to be mentored by David Wilkerson, and it's too bad a lot of you may not know who he was. One of the greatest attributes about David Wilkerson, yes, he started Teen Challenge. Yes, he led Nikki Cruz to the Lord. Yes, a mighty man of God. We have thousands and thousands of Teen Challenge because of him. Pioneer Times Square Church Bible School was a prophetic preacher. But one of his greatest attributes was his prayer life. And everybody knew he had a prayer life. I was able to sit with him, and I had favor with him, and I would sit with him. And I remember asking him, as he was telling me, asking me about my prayer life. And I told him I have three dynamics in my devotion. An hour prayer, an hour walking, an hour reading the word, and an hour prayer. He said, that's good. He said, you keep that up. I said, could you tell me, how's your prayer life like? Because I really want to learn how to pray. He said, I pray at 10 o'clock in the at night till 1 o'clock in the morning. I fast once a week with a toast of bread. And, you know, this is private stuff. And he shared that with me, and I reflected on that. And I instituted a lot of things in my life. I also, in Bible college, was mentored by President Lednecki. Had a wonderful mentorship with Denny Duran for many years. Denny Duran has now on Fox. It's called Faith, Football, and Family. A coach, an evangelist, and so on. But in Bible college, Miriam and I the president of the Bible college, we're freshmen, was a call to prayer. It's called presidential prayer. And we would meet at 5:30 a.m. in the morning. I can't remember if it was once a week. I can't remember. And Miriam and I were there, and we would on our knees, and he would lead us in one-hour prayer before school, but he would give us a little piece of paper. And you'll see on our prayer nights on Thursday, when we establish it, you'll have prayer cards that we fill out. And we'll be praying for these prayer cards, and we'll be praying them here and so forth. And we would pray for absolute crazy. Like we'd say, what is the most craziest prayer? We weren't praying for our future. We weren't praying to help us in school and all that. Although that's important, we probably did pray stuff like that. But some of the prayers we prayed in our heart was, let's pray for your family to be saved. And let's pray for mine. So mine was like my brothers Johnny and Huey, who were crazy lunatics. And it was like a prayer like you really don't believe it, but you're going to pray it anyway. Then we prayed for Annie and Rob. And Rob is a Jewish man that Annie married, Miriam's sister Annie, very close. They were like twins. And Rob is a Jewish, you know, man who became a United, a pilot and a captain and a trainer. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And for Annie and Rob, for my brother Johnny and Annie and Rob, we prayed for almost 20 years. Almost 20 years. I could say 25, but I'll say 20 years. My brother Johnny and Huey's a chaplain, got radically saved. Amen? And today, Annie and Rob are in Crossroads Christian Church in Texas with their hands up to heaven, worshiping Jesus. And what God is calling the church to pray. He's calling the church to pray, to seek his face. But let's talk about prayer. And I share this often about supplication. But let me go back to the power of prayer just as an illustration that I've learned. So on a Friday night outreach, we started Coffee House Outreach at the VFW Hall. It had like four tables on this side. It was packed. We go out with a van and bring drug addicts in, and it was packed. Me, Bobby, Pastor Bobby Lloyd, and then Joey Spolino, who's a worship leader here, got saved. Then Big Pastor Barry got saved. And first me and Bobby and Diane and Miriam and my mother, this was our music. Oh, that was it, our clap. No, what a mighty God we serve. That was the theme song. Come on. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. Amen. And then Joey came in with the guitar and so powerful. Then we moved into another little warehouse and we started Tuesday night. And Tuesday night became our prayer night. And I had our staff and all of our staffs every single Tuesday. We would not eat in the morning until Wednesday morning, every Tuesday for years. On Friday, we fasted 10 o'clock till 1 o'clock. I mean, sometimes we'd break, you know, get me wrong, could have been sick, but we fasted. Then we would fast 10 days a week, 2 weeks out of the year, 21 days out of the year, 30 days out of the year at times. We continued to fast and pray and seek our faith. And people would say, how did you do this? How did you build that? How did you establish that? And I would tell them, it all started because of Tuesday night prayer. If my people will humble themselves and pray, folks, I want to tell you, we've got to get
back to the grassroots, to Christianity 101, humble ourselves and pray. Come on, somebody. God's going to do a wonderful miracle thing on our Thursday night prayer. Amen? Across the country and across the land, God is doing something through all of this. And we want to pray God to move. Amen? I want the worship team to come. I don't want to go too long. But I don't want to miss the next dynamic, because it says, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Let's talk about seeking the face of God. Amen? Seeking Jesus. We know it comes through prayer. But folks, you know, Pastor Pack said something. Pastor Eugene said something that really touched me. That was a great thought. That they eat all the time, you know, three times a day. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. One of the message I shared, that I'll share and emphasize next Sunday, is a dynamic of I use an illustration of these five daughters that you see in your notes, the daughters of Zelophehad, and they claimed their inheritance. A powerful story. But one of the dynamics, I believe, on your notes is that, I can't remember what it says, but basically they came to their senses. They came to their senses. And I in my message that I'll share next Sunday, I used the illustration of the prodigal son. How many here know what I'm talking about? Came to his senses. He came to his senses. And what did he remember? Do you remember who the prodigal son, what did he remember? Who did he remember? What did he remember? He remembered the father. He remembered his father. And I think that turned the whole life around. And the story of the prodigal son, the story of the five daughters, is they remembered their father. That was the highlight of the story. I'm giving you some of the message, but it's all right. They remembered the father. And in reference to the dedication of Solomon here, humble yourselves. Remember I said humility is thinking less of yourself, more of God, more of others, more of God. I met somebody on the street the other day, and it's the first time I heard this. Couldn't believe it. So awesome. I would meet people on the street that knew the Bible better than me, homeless people. Be surprised. I remember this the Jewish lady. Do you remember the lady who would come to our church? I can't remember her name, but she was my little guardian angel. Angry little homeless lady. But you know, when I would come by, she knew me. Jimmy Jack, right? Yes. And blah, 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 blah. You know, I'd give her and I'd take care of her. She would give me a word. She's a drinker. Alcohol, but would never be like a drunk like this, but angry because she just, I never really understood. I tried to, she wouldn't go there. She was a walking Bible. And I would say, do you have a word for me today? Right out. I'm going to Florida to minister. You have a word right out. You know? And she, you know, she would share, be able to share the word of God. And what took place, we're talking about seeking the face of God, is we remember the Father. And the homeless gentleman said to me that I haven't heard, and I'm sure all of you have said this and called your Bible what it was, but this came to me when I was like 1984 when I first got saved. I would say this is God's love letter to me. Because when God saves you, it's not a book. It's not a Bible you can't read. It was before I got saved. It was in every hotel room. But when I got saved and born again, it became God's love letter to me. So it was only about a month ago, and I was ministering to this homeless gentleman. And I said, do you know what? I gave him a scripture, and he goes, oh, it's so beautiful. And he said this. I love God's love letter to me. And it blew me away. I said, man, that's what you call this book? He said, oh, yes. And I said, that's what I call this book, God's love letter. Amen? And when you begin to really dig into to this, it begins to manifest Jesus. It begins to manifest the Father. And the Son remembered the Father. The title of my message next Sunday is Determined to Claim Your Inheritance, underneath, subtitle. Remember the Father. Remember the Father. Amen? And let us get to a place where we can seek the face of God. Not just, you know, in church. God, help us when we're driving, when we're walking. Give us that switch. Amen? And then let us humble ourselves, seek our face, turn from our wicked ways. And the last, and there it is. There it is. There's the result. There's the result. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Come on, let's stand. And let's just applaud the Lord this morning and pray. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song again. I exalt you. One more time. And we're going to pray and ask God to touch all of us here today and move. Message today is, remember, if my people will. If my people will. If my people will. Hallelujah. Sing it, God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. So we exalt you, Lord. We worship your holy name. Yes. I want to pray, how many are believing God for a powerful manifestation of Jesus Christ, outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our church, in our life, in our family? Come on, how many? Amen? Let's pray for that. Where does it start? Where does it start? Right here. If my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. God's speaking to us and he's doing it, and we're going to let him do it. Here's the title of my message. I think my people will. Can someone say, I will? I will. I'm willing. Amen? What did Isaiah say? Here I am, Lord. I will. What did Paul say? What do you want me to do? Come on, somebody. Amen? So let's pray together, because I know there's a lot of needs in this house, and maybe you're at a place where, you know, there's a wall, you need it broken. Listen, just humble yourself. Learn to get to the place to say, I'm wrong. I messed up. My bad, God. Amen? And when we get to that place, God can move. God can move. God can move. You know what a victim mentality is? It's a wall of bitterness. It's called a stronghold, where it has a victim mentality that believes this lie: if they change, you change, then I'll change. That is a lie from the pit of hell. When the Holy Spirit can come into your house, I don't care if you've been betrayed, you've been abused, I feel bad for that, and I do care, don't get me wrong. But I'm going to let you know something. We've got to get to the place where we humble ourselves, and no matter what, say, God, forgive them, and Lord, do a work in my life through this, in Jesus' name. Come on. So let's pray. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for every heart, every soul. I pray for a spirit of brokenness in our heart. Break us down, God. Lord, just like you smashed the twin trades, God, smash the pride in our lives. Smash the pride in our pulpit. Smash the pride in our pastors. Smash the pride in our government, in our schools. Smash the pride in our church. Oh, God, today we ask in the name of Jesus that this would be a day of dedication, a memorial day, that we will believe, God, you have done and have began a work in all of our lives. So today, through this word, we proclaim 2 Chronicles 7:14 in our hearts, to live, to move, in our land, in our churches, in Jesus' name. Can everybody shout amen? Can we just praise them for a minute? Come on, somebody. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. We worship you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Now, through all that, here's what Jesus said. You'll know my people by their love toward one another. Can you give some love to one another? Tell somebody you love them in the Lord. God bless you. Be prepared for God to do a new thing in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.